You're listening to episode 341 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast. I'm your host, Dr. April Seifert. On this podcast, we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset. Hello, friends. Welcome back to this episode of the Building Psych Strength podcast. I'm Dr. April. I'm your host, and I'm so happy you're here. It's actually a really fun episode because this episode is coming to you while I am on vacation. So thanks to the glorious thing that is automation, these episodes still go live even when I'm not home. So it's a fun week taking some time with my girls for spring break, taking some time with my mom and my in-laws and hanging out at a house in Arizona. So hello from Arizona. I hope you are enjoying springtime. We're so excited to be here. And I'm actually really excited about this week's topic because it's one that has made a meaningful impact for me. And I want to make sure that if it's working for me, I share it with you guys so that you can get the same benefit. Now, if there is one thing that impacts the way that we experience life above nearly everything else, it is our emotions. I mean, if you think about it, how does your day feel? What is your experience like? Or, you know, when your day is filled with joy or other positive emotions, how does it feel? And how is that different in terms of your experience when you compare it to a day that's filled with a lot of anxiety? Or how about a day that's filled with feelings of calm and ease? How does that day feel? What's your experience like? And then compare that to a day that's filled with sadness or depression. How is your experience there? Our emotions color our life experience, and sometimes it can feel like they're out of our control. It can feel like our emotional experience is just being sort of thrust around by whatever gusts of wind life throws at us. But that's not entirely true. The research and the work behind something called cognitive behavioral theory shows us that although some of our emotional experience that we have is automatic and out of our control, we do have the opportunity to insert some intentionality into it and create more of the experience we want to have. And that is precisely what we're talking about in today's episode. All right, friends, so if you think back, in episode 338, I talked about a practice that I regularly use to figure out what it is that I truly want out of life. And I provided a free guided practice so that you can try this exercise too. And the punchline, this is something I do on, honestly, more regularly than even on a monthly basis. It's pretty common for me to do this practice. And the punchline of one of my own recent sessions with this practice is that I realized that the life I was envisioning in this practice, it's a visualization where you think about, you know, what your life might look like 10, 15, 20 years into the future to kind of get at some what that ideal life might look like outside of the bounds of what, you know, your current normal life is looking like. Anyway, I realized that the life that I was envisioning during that session and the material things in that life and the goals that metaphorically sort of got me to that point weren't actually what I was seeking. When I dug deeper and I used the process that is in that free download from episode 338, I used that process and I realized it was actually the feeling that this lifestyle provided that I was truly after. So it wasn't the house. It wasn't any of that. I wanted the calm, spacious feeling of ease that the version of my own self in that visualization seemed to embody. I mean, like, if you kind of flip it on its head, if you gave me the house that I envisioned, the professional achievements, the material possessions, and the schedule of that visualized version of me, But at the same time, she felt anxious and hurried and stretched thin. I wouldn't have actually gotten what I truly desired. And similarly, if I could have that calm, spacious feeling of ease in my current life, it would be a huge step in the right direction. So by going through that exercise, that's how I knew that it was the feeling, not the achievements and the mental possessions, that was my true desire. And I think if we all dig deep enough, that's actually true in a lot of cases. And then it hit me. It actually is possible. Yes, there is some proportion of our emotional experience that is dedicated by subconscious automatic forces that are sort of outside of our immediate control. There's a caveat there that I need to go down a rabbit hole on a whole separate episode, how we change some of those associations more in the long term. Against my just desire at this moment, I'm going to leave that rabbit hole untouched. Anyway, so it's outside of our immediate control, but we know from the decades of research that support cognitive behavioral theory that a chunk of our emotional experience is actually malleable. It's actually inside of our immediate control. So what do I mean by that? I want to start with just a little foundation of what cognitive behavioral theory is, and I promise it's actually going to be entertaining, so don't tune me out just yet. If this sounds too academic and boring, I'll make it fun, I promise. Cognitive behavioral theory at its core tells us that our thoughts, our feelings, and our behavior are in sort of this three-way relationship with each other. They're in this intermingled dance of sorts. Our thoughts about a particular situation create our feelings. Our feelings help direct our behavior. And this one's important. Our behavior then reinforces or discounts our thoughts. So my partner in Peak Mind, Dr. Ashley Smith, she's a clinical psychologist and is brilliant and also just a fabulous human being and really great with analogies. She's got this great analogy for this that involves, bear with me, stepping in dog poop. Stay with me. I swear this is beautifully relevant. So imagine, and actually do this. Imagine you're walking along and you step in a big steaming pile of dog poop. And you think to yourself, that stupid pet owner, I can't believe they just let their dog poop right here on the sidewalk and they left it there. They shouldn't even have a dog if they can't clean up after it. If you thought that thought, how do you think you'd end up feeling? Angry, right? That thought would make you feel angry. Now imagine you're walking along and you step in the same pile of steaming dog poop. But this time you think to yourself, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. How stupid am I? No one else would be so careless and distracted enough to step in poop and now everyone is going to think I smell bad. How would you feel in that case? Probably like anxious or self-critical. Let's do one more example. You're walking along, you step in the poop, and you think to yourself, huh, poop happens, and you keep walking. How would you feel then? Neutral? Maybe you'd laugh to yourself a little bit? Here's the key point. In all three cases, the situation is the same. You stepped in the poop. The poop happened. However, you had three very different emotional reactions because what you thought about the situation was different. Your thoughts influenced your emotions. Now let's go a step further. How do you feel urged to act when you're angry? Do you get kind of the urge to yell? Maybe you get the urge to lash out. Some people get the urge to cry. How about when you feel anxious? Do you feel the urge to maybe avoid the situation or get out of it? Or maybe you feel the urge to numb your feelings by distracting yourself or drinking alcohol or some other means. The point is, our emotions influence our behavior. Now, this next step that I'm going to talk about is key. Our behavior sends a strong message back to our mind to tell it whether it was correct or not. Let me give you some examples. So if you're in a situation that, you know, leads to thoughts that make you feel anxious or afraid, and you run away, let's say you're going to do a public speaking event, right? Tends to make a lot of people feel anxious. If you run away or you cancel that event, that behavior sends a strong signal to your mind to tell it, ha, you're right. See, we were in danger. We're running away. Your mind doesn't have eyes. It can't appraise the situation that's going on. It's doing its best given the cues that it can take in, but your behavior is telling it whether it was right or not. And if it thinks you're in danger and makes you feel anxious and you run away, you're telling it that it was right. What's going to happen the next time? The next time you're in a similar situation, you're probably going to feel even more anxious. Or maybe the anxiety is going to set in even faster. Now, on the flip side, same situation. Let's say you have a public speaking event coming up. That situation leads to thoughts that make you feel anxious. But instead of running away, you stand your ground. Not only that, but you breathe deeply. You slow down. You drop your shoulders. You relax your muscles. You send a signal to your mind that says, oh, thank you so much for being worried about me. But you know what? We're actually okay. I know you feel like this situation might not be safe, but we actually are safe right now. We're okay. And the next time, your mind is going to be in a situation like that, and it's going to think twice about sending you thoughts that provoke anxiety. So we've kind of gone around the loop, right? This three-way relationship between our thoughts, our emotions, or our feelings, and then our behavior. That is kind of the foundation of cognitive behavioral theory. And with that foundation in mind, I want to just hit quickly on how you can put this into practice in your life. I want to go back to my most recent experience with that visualization that I gave you guys in episode 338. I wanted to go back to the desired state that I was after. So I sat in that visualization. I put myself in the position of imagining myself 20 years in the future. I imagine the home that I'm in. P.S. It is on an amazing kind of chilly New England beach. It's not like a tropical beach. It's like a beach where you have to wear a sweater to walk outside. The air is kind of cool and damp. I'm eating lobster. I'm in a beautiful home that's full of cushions and comfort and squishy things to sit on. I have time to read. I have time to take my time and move through my day. So that's the lifestyle that I pictured. But then I went through the exercise that is in the download that accompanies episode 338. And essentially, you're asking yourself, okay, why do I want that lifestyle? I mean, part of it is that I just enjoy lobster and it tastes really good. So, okay, there's that. But when I put it all in a whole, when I think about the lifestyle sort of from 10,000 feet and look down on it, ultimately, when I spent enough time asking the question, why, what I realized is that what I was really after was the feeling of ease and spaciousness that this version of myself in the future seemed to have. She seemed to be able to have enough ease in her life that allowed her to move a little bit more slowly, to do one thing at a time and not try to multitask all the time, to feel like she had the space to just intentionally focus on the task at hand, not plan 8 tasks into the future. And then I asked myself a magic question. This is a magic life design question. How might I have that now? How puts us into a stance of action. We're trying to problem solve. That's what the word how signals to us. Might signals to us, you know what? We're experimenting here. We're coming up with ideas. We're not married to any of these. None of them are the right answer necessarily. But how might? Like, we're just saying we might. How might I have that feeling of ease and spaciousness now? And what was funny is, like I said, I know how I could have that now. I can use my behavior to signal to my mind that it should put me in a state of ease. Now, it is also possible to focus on your thoughts. That is for a whole other episode. But behaviors seem to be a little bit easier for people, especially when they're starting to flirt and practice with this cognitive behavioral theory stuff. So we're going to start with behaviors in this episode. But in particular, I want to talk about using micro behaviors to help invoke a particular feeling. So in my case, I wanted to invoke the feeling of ease and calm and spaciousness. Like, I want to feel like I am the person who has way more time than they have stuff to accomplish. Like, it is absolutely possible for me to get everything that I need to get done finished in the amount of time that I have. Look at how spacious and luxurious my schedule feels. That's what I'm after. In order to do that, this is going to sound crazy, but stick with me. The micro behaviors that I have started experimenting with are things like walking a bit more slowly, moving with a bit more intention. I'm taking just a bit longer to do mundane tasks. And here's a big kicker. I'm doing one thing at a time. Now, you might be thinking, like, this is stupid. These things are very small. Like, this can't possibly invoke the feeling that you're talking about, April. I want to go back to something very fundamental. Our minds operate a lot like our muscles operate. When we want to strengthen something, so in my case, I want to strengthen this feeling of ease and spaciousness. When we want to strengthen something, the best way to do it is the same way we would strengthen a muscle. Multiple repetitions. You can't just, let's say you want big biceps. I happen to love big biceps, my own big biceps. Let's say you want big biceps. It's not enough to go pick up a 30-pound dumbbell and struggle and curl it once and set it back down. Literally nothing is going to happen. But it's through the repetitive reps, the repetitive, even smaller weight, less weight. Those repetitive reps consistently strengthen that muscle over time. Similarly, we can train our mind to move in the direction that we want to, in my case, toward feeling spaciousness and ease. We can train our mind by doing multiple small reps over and over. So let's go with a couple of examples to kind of drive home this weightlifting, you know, analogy. I could make one big sweeping change. I could cancel an obligation that I agreed to, even something ongoing, right? I could pull it off my schedule and I could say, see, mind, we don't have to do everything. We don't have to do all the things that we agreed to. But that's one decision. It's like lifting a 30-pound weight once. Maybe I get one rep in, but my mind immediately goes back to what it does more habitually. Instead, I need to infuse a bunch of little reps into my life. And by doing that, when I wake up in the morning, I remind myself, walk to the bathroom with ease. You have time. How much is that extra, literally 3 seconds, actually going to throw your day off? If you don't have 3 seconds, you do not have a life. So, can I walk to the bathroom with ease? Can I shower at a more reasonable pace? Can I do one thing at a time? Can I just get myself ready, blow dry my hair without planning out my day or doing something else and multitasking? Over and over, dozens of times per day, I'm reminding myself, nope, we're going to move with ease. We're okay. We have time. And I'm going to tell you, I've been practicing this for a few weeks now. It is life-changing. Your mind wants to get through the day expending the least amount of energy possible. And it does that by backburnering a lot of your decision-making and a lot of your behavior. Another way of saying that is it creates habits. It automates a lot of your behavior. And if you start throwing a repetitive behavior at your mind. Repeatedly, I'm telling myself, slow down, one thing at a time. You have time. There is space. Just because it's trying to be adaptive and not have to work so hard, your mind will stop fighting you and it'll automate the new thing that you're telling it to do. So give your mind, the point here with these micro behaviors is give your mind a bunch of signals, little signals throughout the day, small things. They stack up. So how about you? Have you done the exercise in 338? If you haven't, go get it. This is your life. You should know what you want. Go figure out what you're after. And if you want to stack this episode on top of that one, really pay attention to the feeling that you're after. And then think about how might you, magic question, how might you use micro behaviors to cultivate that feeling in your life? You are going to be shocked at the difference that it makes. I already am. It's been amazing. All right, stick with me for just a couple more minutes. I've got a few additional resources. They're really great. Hang out for a second and I'll be right back. Okay, segment three. All right, you guys, I hope this has been helpful and I hope the wheels are already turning in your mind as to the type of feeling and emotion you want to cultivate in your life and how you might use micro behaviors to do it. Three quick resources for you. One, of course, I'm going to link to episode 338 so that you can get that free guided experience and that free workbook download that goes along with that episode. So if you're interested in figuring that out, go click the link in this episode description. Just swipe up on your device. You can get that download and that experience right off the bat. It's absolutely free. And figure out what it is that you want out of life. So that's resource number one. Number two, if you find that it is happiness that you're after, who doesn't want that? P.S. Even if that's not like the main thing you want, who doesn't want it, right? We have this amazing blog post that Dr. Ashley wrote that is called 15 Practical Tips for Boosting Happiness. I've linked that below as well. It is so incredible. You can do these small changes, these small behaviors to boost happiness in your life. And we gave you 15 examples for doing that. So go click below, get that blog post and start putting those into work in your life. And then finally, okay, I gave the poop analogy. I'm going to blame that on Ashley. That's her analogy, but I love it so much. If you want another analogy to drive home the impact of these, of your behavior on emotions, check out the blog post called Stop Feeding the Dog, How to Break Negative Self-Fueling Cycles. That's linked below. So it's, it's after the same thing, right? Like how does our behavior influence either by reinforcing or by negating a thought process that our mind has? This is just another way of thinking about it. And I like to give, you know, multiple analogies and multiple examples sometimes because you never know which one's going to resonate. So maybe check that one out if you want to deepen your understanding of what we're talking about with this cognitive behavioral theory and the impact of behaviors on emotions. And finally, let's remember that time is the most non-renewable resource on the planet. And I'm grateful to each and every one of you who chose to spend some of your precious time with me today. I'm Dr. April Seifert, and I will see you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.